Welcome back to Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia. We're going to spend some time now talking to an old friend of mine, Monica Villalobos, who is the president and CEO of the Arizona Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Monica has been chosen as one of the co-chairs for the transition team for the incoming governor, Katie Hobbs. And so I wanted to spend some time talking to her about that process, why she endorsed the governor during the campaign, and also really talk to her a little bit about being a Republican in these times, and in particular, being a Latina Republican, because these are unique times. Welcome to the show, Monica.
Thank you so much, James. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad to be on your show today.
Let's dive right into it. First of all, you were chosen to be co-chair of the transition team. What is essentially the task that you have been given?
Well, James, it really came as a bit of a surprise, but I'm excited to be able to serve the state of Arizona. But the role really as described to me is to provide a wide berth of options to fill agency head roles. There probably are about 30 or 40 positions that need to be filled in the next 45 days. And some of them will remain depending on who is staying and who's decided to leave. But what I'm looking for is a diversity of perspective, a diversity of demographics, diversity of thought. So I'm working in collaboration and elated to have Mike Hayner as the co-chair. And he has done this a couple of times before.
It's really a unique thing to have a Democratic governor coming into office and then having essentially a bipartisan representation in terms of the co-chair. And I should have mentioned earlier, Mike Hayner, former deputy chief of staff to Governor Janet Napolitano, is the other co-chair. So very often, more often than not, when a Democratic governor comes in or a Democratic president comes in, the people that they choose for their administration, the top folks, tend to be from their party. What's your expectation here?
I'm hopeful that, again, it will be representative of both parties. I know that many fellow Republicans really had to search deep in their souls and had to put country, state, family before party in this election. And so I think that this is a wonderful demonstration and a great first step at including everyone in the process. Again, this is really meant to be something different. I mean, you just look at Mike's background and you look at my background, completely different. So now we're finding that, you know, we're working together. And I think that everyone we call to the table will be able to do that. And one thing I want to make really, really clear, because my phone has been blowing up, is that we are not picking the final selection for those positions. We are providing a number of options of candidates for those positions. And then Governor-elect Hobbs and her team will make those final decisions. So great to be part of the process, but we are just providing options for candidates.
Another dimension of this is, of course, that you are Latina. How is that going to shape what you're going to be doing with the transition team?
Yeah, you know, we have seen just from a demographic perspective, we know that in Arizona, Latinos are 30% of the state, 40% of Phoenix Metro, and 50% of K through 12. So Latino residents in Arizona are the future. And so it's important to be reflective of that. I accepted this role knowing that Latina entrepreneurs are the fastest growing business segment in Arizona. So my focus really is on, you know, what makes economic sense, what is representative, not only of the demographics, but the sociographics, the fact that Latinos are contributing so much to the economy, and how are we reflecting that in the administration in general, as well as other groups that maybe haven't traditionally been part of the administrations.
And this, of course, will be a change from the last administration. I mean, my observation of the Ducey administration was that they had nominal diversity as compared to what Katie Hobbs indicated to me in an interview just before the election, that her goal would be to make this a representative administration. Why did you, by the way, on a personal level, I know that you individually endorsed her. Why did you endorse her?
You know, I think, as I mentioned earlier, this is a time to do some soul searching. And having been a lifelong Republican since I was 18 years old, understanding, Republican values. I often say I didn't leave the Republican Party. In fact, I'm still registered Republican, but the Republican Party left me, and it left me when it started promoting candidates operating from a place of hubris and hostility rather than humility and humanity. And so for me, it's really been an opportunity to practice collaboration, right? To understand where that middle ground is. And I think a lot of Republicans are tired of the extremism that has invaded the party. But I really felt like we had to look for a candidate with experience running our state, understanding the dynamics, understanding the needs. That's how I came to my decision.
When you say the party left you, how have you dealt with that?
Well, I think it's sort of, to use a sports analogy, you can't be a fair-weathered fan and just sort of be there when the party is doing well. I mean, in many ways, people have been a part of parties longer than they've been married. And so it is a marriage of some sort. And so I think that the Republican Party needs moderate Republicans more now than ever, Republicans that understand that we have a country to run and that we have a representative democracy and that the rule of law is not something you just pull out when it's convenient and then tuck away when you don't like something. I think there are many of us in the party that are tired of that, again, extremism and want to bring back some common sense to the party.
And do you feel confident that the party can be pulled back from that brink?
I certainly hope so. I know that the sound bites and the extremism is great show and, certainly panders to a small fraction of the population. But the amount of misinformation that's been disseminated is very alarming. And I think that this gubernatorial election was a great example of people who are really searching deep and realizing that oftentimes Republican candidates are not, I'm not their target. I'm not their target audience, and understand that they're going to campaign on a platform of extremism. I think that that is short-lived.
How did you read the midterm elections, which were predicted to be a red wave?
As you know, I'm not a political animal. I'm a data geek. And so when I look at the data, I know that there were a lot of predictions and that did not come to fruition. And that sends a message in and of itself. It sends a message that we're not on the path that we need to be as a party. And I think it's important to understand that there are so many people that really just want to be represented and reflected in the administration. And so the only way that I read that is that's a great message, and let's hope that the people it was intended for get it.
Your read is that the voters are essentially saying we want moderation, not extremism.
Correct.
And now, one of the targets of the extremist politics in the Republican Party recently, under the leadership of Trump, has been real hostility towards the Latino community. I think Carrie Lake expressed that. And so, as a Latina, did you feel throughout the campaign that it was directed in part at you and the community that you know?
Yeah, so I think from a Latino perspective, again, there's a lot of misinformation and there's a lack of understanding that when you have certain positions and you target a certain community, it's not just that community, it's everybody who interacts with that community. It's a poor read, right? It's not reading the room. And so it's important to really, again, come from a place of evidence-based decision making. And when you look again at the demographics of our state, what you see is a very productive Latino community, a very productive minority community, and the state is on target and to become a minority majority state. What we're encouraging, I think, within the community is let's be a more collaborative majority than the last one.
In terms of the reaction from your colleagues or even others in the Republican Party, what has that been like, the announcement that you'll be participating in this transition team?
For the most part, it has been extremely positive. And I think the folks that have reached out have been encouraging and are hopeful that that decision will also mean more representation within the administration. And so that is my mandate, to make sure that we have as diverse administration as possible. There are certainly those, particularly within the GOP, that have different feelings about that. But again, for me, this is the right decision for me, for my family, for my community, for my state and country. And so I think it's important to understand that diversity of views and tolerance must be at the forefront of our decisions.
A number of people who have come out in support of Katie Hobbs, including Katie Hobbs herself, have engendered literally death threats from people who oppose them. Has that happened to you?
I did receive my first death threat, and certainly I think those are issued to create fear, but I think that they forget what we've been through and what our families have been through. We've been through far worse. And there's a wonderful quote from Emiliano Zapata, who said, "I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees."
Are there any details that you can share at all about the death threat? Did it come from a man? Did it come from someone who identified themselves as a supporter of Trump? Any additional details like that?
It was a male who reminded me that I am a member of the GOP and that I should not stab anyone in the back, or I might find myself with a knife in my back. And but quickly hung up and didn't allow me to respond. And
They called you.
called me directly, like got me on the phone and didn't allow me to respond, hung up immediately, which was quite cowardly, I thought, because I would have loved to have had a conversation about, why, one, why you feel that's appropriate. And two, I find with folks like that, once confronted, they tend to back down quite a bit.
And speaking of confronting them, did you notify the authorities?
I have not done so yet. As I said, of the 1,000 calls that I've received in support and encouraging this role, this was one. And I imagine that our law enforcement has plenty to do than to, sort of chase idle threats.
Well, I'm glad to hear that out of the 1,000 or perhaps hundreds or whatever it is, that you're receiving overwhelmingly positive support. And I wish you the best of luck with the process.
Thank you so much, James. Always a pleasure.
Okay, thank you, Monica. Have a great day.